And our gospel comes to us from the 24th chapter of Luke today. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." You may be seated. I invite you to pray with me. Holy God, you have a word for us today, a word of comfort and a word of challenge, a word of hope and a word of guidance for our lives. Make our hearts soft. Plant your word in us that it may bear fruit through our lives. Amen. We have a complicated relationship with fear, don't we? I mean, think about it. Sometimes we're told to face our fears and be brave, and other times we desperately try to avoid fear, putting anything we can in place to keep us feeling safe. And then there are other times when we play around with fear, right? Doing this crazy thing like subjecting ourselves to horror movies or reading scary books or even going to haunted houses around Halloween, right? One of my favorite TV shows when I was a kid, hands down, was Scooby-Doo, because there was just a little humor, just a little mystery, and just enough fear to make me feel really brave. Why do we have such a complicated relationship with fear? Well, I think at least one of the reasons is this, that we live in a world today that is saturated with fear. And part of the reason I think we play around with it so much is that there's this undercurrent of fear flowing, permeating our culture, and we long for escape from that. And so while we may live in a culture that is saturated in fear, remember, we worship a risen Lord who gives us peace. And so we're moving through this 30-day Easter challenge. Last week, we talked about doubt and faith. This week, I want to think about fear and peace and how we find that. And then next week, we'll continue talking about loneliness and belonging. And today we're going to focus on thinking about what fear is in our lives, how that works, and how we can find that peace Christ offers. Because, friends, the peace of Christ is stronger than the fear of this world. So first, thinking about how does fear work in our minds, in our bodies. These things, fear, worry, stress, that kind of stuff, it's really, on the one hand, kind of a gift from God, right? These are important because God gave them to us to help keep us safe, to help us respond to danger. But here's the issue. I'm not sure if you've noticed this, but the human experience has changed just a little bit from the time of our ancestors in ancient times until today, hasn't it? And you think about these things we have in our minds, like the fight or flight reflex. God knew that dangerous circumstances would be a part of this life on earth. For example, what if a lion shows up in front of you? What are you going to do, right? And the higher logical part of your brain might start to stop and think rationally about all the options, and you would make a pros and cons list, and you'd be thinking about this, and before you get very far, the lion has already eaten you, right? And so, this logical part of our brain, it's beautiful, it's powerful, and oh my goodness, is it slow sometimes, right? And so God has given us this other system in our brain that's this kind of tiny, quick response part of our brain that's on reserve, and it's this little almond-sized part of your brain, very small, called the amygdala. And I know about this because I looked it up on Google this week, so it's got to be right. But really, as I understand it, it's always kind of there in the background while our higher brain is philosophizing and deep thinking and all that stuff, but it's always ready to jump in and take over completely in an instant when danger comes. You see, the amygdala's specialty is not higher thinking. It's not well thought out plans. Its specialty is hijacking the rest of our brain and other parts of our body instantaneously to react and save us from danger, right? From things like lions. And there's actually a term for this. It's called the amygdala hijack, because this little part of your brain literally takes over everything else, shuts it down and says, "Get out of the way, everyone, I've got this," and charges full steam ahead. It's like a superpower when our life is actually threatened. It kicks everything into overdrive. You felt this, right? Your adrenaline rush and your breathing picks up, your heart rate picks up, everything. But fast forward to a society today in which we're not faced with life-threatening wild beasts regularly, right? The superpower of the amygdala is maybe less helpful sometimes in our modern circumstances where there's this kind of mid-range stress all the time. I mean, let's say, for example, your family's trying to get ready for a school concert and get everybody dressed and out the door on time, and the kids are like, "Dad, I can't find my dress shoes. Mom, I lost my belt." And then you get this ping on your phone, a text from someone at work, and there's a crisis and you have to respond. And the higher part of your brain is thinking, "Okay, we can think through this, we can handle this," and in the background, your amygdala's going, "What's that? That smells like fear. Look out, everyone, I've got this." And before you know it, you're slamming doors, you're throwing your keys, you're yelling at each other. I've heard this can happen in some houses. Of course it happens in my house. The amygdala hijack is real, my friends, right? We felt this. The point is this: fear can make us do stupid things sometimes. Fear can make us react in ways that just aren't rational. So then what happens when we live in a culture, in a society today that is sort of constantly acting out of a spirit of fear? What happens when we find ourselves in the modern world in this kind of constant, mid-range, low-level fear, stress situation? God has designed us with this incredible physiology to be able to react instantly to danger, but it was meant for short-term bursts, occasional, there's the operative word, occasional things, not always. But do you ever feel like today we're triggered with fear all the time? I mean, our ancestors only had to be afraid of what was right in front of them, what they could see, right? But we have the gift of the news and TV and the internet. There's things all over the place. We have commercials saying, "If you need to be afraid unless you have the safest car," or we have leaders saying, "You need to be afraid unless you vote for me," things like that. All the time we get to be afraid of things on the other side of the globe. We have email notifications on our phone at the dinner table, and we hear these stories about another shooting here or a war going on over there, and even how we get from place to place. We drive in traffic with brakes slamming and horns honking. It's all the time. And there's all this layered on top of our own kind of personal, everyday, very real fears in our lives, like our relationships, our kids, our health, our finances, our job. What if I fail? There's all this pressure all the time. My friends, Jesus knows all these fears that you're carrying. He knows them well. That's part of why he became human. And that's why one of the very first things that he says to his disciples after he rises is, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Do not be afraid." And this phrase, "do not be afraid," it's one of the more common phrases in the Bible. Do you know how many times it's in Scripture? I didn't either, so I asked my good friend ChatGPT this week and found out. It said this: the phrases "do not fear" and "do not be afraid" appear approximately 365 times in the Bible, one for each day of the year. Isn't that interesting? And I'm just trusting that's 100% accurate. But it is probably pretty close. Because, friends, what this means is before you were born, God knew that you and I would be faced with all of these messages of fear swirling around us like the air we breathe. But God's desire for your life is not a spirit of fear. It's a spirit of peace. And the disciples, While they didn't have to worry about things like email scams or bad traffic, they were facing very real fears then too, right? They were worried about their daily bread. Where would their next meal come from? They feared for their physical safety in the middle of this Roman occupation. And on that Friday, the worst of all their fears came true. Jesus was killed in this horrific way. Their futures in an instant, their family's futures completely unraveled. And I have to assume that they were asking this painful, difficult question, God, where are you in this? Where are you, God? And it's then that Jesus shows up. In the midst of their deepest fear, Jesus steps into the room and says, peace be with you. Into that most frightening moment of their lives, he comes and offers peace. And his peace, there's something different about that, isn't there? In John 14, 27, he said this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. See, friends, the peace of Christ is stronger than the fear of this world. And Jesus gives them peace first because he knows that when we operate out of a place of peace rather than fear, everything looks different. We can walk in freedom. We can face any challenges that come our way with hope and clarity rather than this amygdala-induced anxiety. And the disciples were about to embark on the most difficult, strenuous, and at times dangerous mission of their lives to proclaim the gospel in the heart of the Roman Empire. And the gift that Jesus chooses to give them to do the impossible is peace, his peace. Because that's not a shallow peace, that's a deep peace. It's not a temporary peace, it's an everlasting peace. It's not a peace that's defined by the absence of struggle, it's a peace that's defined by the presence of God, a peace that we can hang on to even in the midst of the struggle. And that, friends, that is the peace Jesus wants for your life. He wants the same peace for us. And we all long for this, but it can be so hard to hold on to, right? We catch a glimpse of it here, we feel it there, but then it can be gone. How do we hold on to it? I don't have all the answers, friends, but I can tell you a couple things that have been really helpful for me because my amygdala, it works really well. A couple things that have been helpful for me. One, decreasing those habits in our lives that increase our fear. And two, increase practices that help us receive that peace. It's like if you want to have a healthier body, you do what? You decrease the intake of junk food and you increase the nutritious foods, right? It's kind of the same for our souls. So two questions I want you to go out with this week is, one, what is the spiritual junk food in your life? And two, what is the spiritually nutritious practices in your life? What are those? For example, spiritual junk food, is there media? What kind of media are you taking in? What kind of things are you watching and listening to? Are they cultivating fear or are they trying to just inform you and bring you hope? What are your social media practices or that scrolling on your phone? Does that one more article you read too late at night, does that actually bring you peace or is it inducing worry and anxiety in you? What about your relationships? Are you surrounding yourself with people who bring you joy and hope or people who worry and raise your fear? Also, one of the things that's been super helpful for me is turning off certain notifications on my cell phone. I don't know if you know this, but cell phones actually turn off. I know, my kids don't believe me, but it's true. And then what are the spiritually nutritious practices in your life? Are you taking intentional time with God every day in prayer? Are you taking time in God's word to read the story of God's salvation and hear God's word, God's promises for you? Are you spending time in nature, getting outside to hear the birds sing and feel the sunshine? That's part of why we launched the 30-day challenge in the season to help each of us find more peace, more hope, more joy, and ways to spend time with God in different seasons, because Jesus doesn't want us to live in a spirit of fear, but live in the peace of God. And that's not just about us, right? That's also about the world. Because when we carry the peace of Christ in us, we carry that peace out there to the world that so desperately needs it. It may start in here, but God's peace through us flows out to the world like an everlasting, refreshing stream. So in closing, I want to leave you with this verse from Romans, this kind of prayer promise from Paul. He says this, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you believe in him, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for bringing us peace, even in the heart of our struggles, in the heart of our fears, in the heart of our pain. And God, you know better than we do how much we need your peace in this world today. We need it in our lives. We need it in our communities. We need it around the world. God, help us to be peacemakers as you have called us to be. Help us to hold on to that promise, to carry it with us, and to spread it to all those we encounter with your love and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.